Hello, welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 90 on September 22nd, 2014. Long time no hear, huh? It's nice to know you guys miss me. I miss you too. Sometimes life gets a little wild. And I never mind it when you send me messages saying, "So, hello, we miss you. Where's the next podcast?" That actually lights a fire underneath me and gets me going. So to the man that wrote me on Facebook, I appreciate that, sir. Thank you very much, because here I am doing the podcast, making time for it and for you. So first, let me talk a little bit about my call-in line. I've been getting more messages recently, which is lovely. It's a thrill. But it seems like there's a little bit of misconception about what the call-in line is for. And I think I've talked about this before, but I'm just going to go over it again. What to expect. When you call in, do not expect me to answer the phone. That doesn't happen. I love getting your messages, but this is not a phone line I pick up. This is for you to leave questions, stories, things like that. So don't expect me to pick up the phone. What not to expect. Actually, don't expect for me to call you back. Initially, when I started doing the call line and the questions, I was thinking I could do like Dan Savage type of stuff, where I could call the listener back and we could have a conversation and I could put it on the air. But I really don't think that that's something that I'm ready for or that's workable for me right now. So if you want to call in with your question, I'll do my very best to put it on the air and answer. But don't expect me to call you back and have a private conversation to answer your question in that manner. That's what my private consultations are for. And if that's what you're interested in, just let me know on the call, and then I will call you back. Okay. So what your choices are when you call are to leave a question, leave a story about something awesome that happened to you that has to do with begging, or let me know you need me to call you back for a private consultation, and that would be it. I mean, you can sing me a song, you can do other things too, but that's the basics, the normal phone calls, and I certainly welcome unnormal ones as well. And also, I just want to let you guys know how much I love hearing from you. I love getting the messages. It really makes my day. And you're all so sweet. You leave these great messages and great questions too. So I'm going to play you some of those today. And this first message that I received, unfortunately, it started off great, but then it was bad quality. It was spotty, and it was good enough to where I could pretty much figure out the message. So I'm going to play you the first part of the message because it was really nice and it made my day. And then I'll answer the question afterwards. So here's your first one.
Hi, this is Scott. Couple things. Let me tell you how wonderfully lucky we all are to have you as a representative. To have you doing what you're doing is just, I don't think there are enough wonderful adjectives to just put it out there. I think the next thing is we are truly kindred spirits. I've heard you talk about your history, and I said, whoa, that's my history. I can remember from way back when reading Pennant.
Okay, so what Scott wanted to know was about play with larger toys. He spoke about using something that was about 1 3/4 to 2 inches in diameter, and that he really enjoyed being pegged with the larger toys, and they were wondering both where to get really safe toys that are that size, that are made out of good materials, as well as, you know, what are the upper limits of being safe without being reckless? I believe you used the word reckless. So Scott, when you use the word reckless, you know, you don't ever really want to be reckless with a toy, because there are definitely the cardinal rules of not too fast, plenty of lube, nothing sharp, and not too big. So I understand you're playing with the not too big part of it here. You know, of course there are upper limits, but there are people all over the place who actually get fisted anally, which is definitely more than a 3-inch diameter. I would say, you know, maybe 4-inch diameter. It's hard to say. But anyway, fisting is bigger than the toys that you are playing with, and they don't have any problem with the whole fecal incontinence thing. I wrote a whole article about that, and I'm going to link to it on my Linkorama. but the physiology that is there is two concentric sphincters, one inside the other. The outer sphincter is voluntary muscle, and that is muscle that can stretch and stretch quite a ways before you do any damage. It's kind of like the muscles that you have in your legs where if you go to yoga and stretch your legs out, they don't stay stretched out. They go back to where they were before. So that is the muscle that's always going to take care of everything, and the reason that nothing ever happens in terms of permanent damage within reason, because I always want to emphasize that within reason is part of this formula, everybody. So the inner sphincter is the one that really can only stretch so far because it's made out of smooth muscle. Smooth muscle won't stretch indefinitely and then return to the same size. And the recap of the article is, in short, you can damage this inner sphincter to where it is pretty much not working anymore. It's ineffective. It's really not part of the formula even. But that amount of damage is not unusual to already be there if you're someone who has had constipation, a couple of bad bouts of constipation, and you've had to pass something maybe twice the size of a regular stool. So that damage has already been done for people who have had that. So the point being, even though technically it's damage, even though technically you are, by playing this way, rendering that inner sphincter completely useless, the outer sphincter, here's the good news, everybody, so take a deep breath, especially you, Scott. The good news is the outer sphincter completely makes up for it. It's supported by three huge groups of muscles, and it can completely take care of the whole scenario. Mostly the inner sphincter takes care of gas and liquids. So if you have complete liquid bowel movements all the time, you might have a bit of a struggle. I actually did get a message one time from a guy who said that after he got pegged, he felt like he could fart more easily. And he was wondering, he was a little worried, you know, like you are, is like, really, is this a problem? But as long as you are taking things slow, as long as you're using good equipment and nothing sharp and using plenty of lube, which you said you were, then I think you're fine. So, okay, let's talk about toys here and which ones are available for you. There's a lot of big toys out there, but they're not made out of really good equipment. They're made out of rubber and a lot of things that are porous. Okay, Tantus sells two different very large size dildos that you might want to take a look at. One is called the Amsterdam, and the Amsterdam's measurements is 10.5 inches long by 2.6 inches in diameter. And like all of Tantus's dildos, that's made out of 100% ultra premium silicone, so it's a safe buy, absolutely. The other dildo that's, I believe, even larger, yes, is called Haas. Don't you love that name? And that one is 11 inches long by 2.75 inches in diameter, and that one has some nice hefty balls at the end of it, and has a head on it. It's a bit more realistic. Both of them are black. The Amsterdam is kind of a wild sort of round. It almost looks like a bomb or something. It looks sort of odd to me anyway. But those two should satisfy you if you're up to that size. I think from your description, like I say, the recording wasn't all that good, so it was a little bit difficult to get the exact information, but I'm pretty sure that you said you were about the 1 3/4 and 2 inch. So these might be a bit of a jump for you. But on the other hand, once you get there, because you said you're really enjoying it, these might be a good choice. So that would be entirely up to you. And you know, if these are too big, take a look at Tantus as the rest of their line, because I'm sure there's something in there that will fit for you. They have some really big diameter ones that are shorter, if that's your pleasure. But if you really like the length, they have long ones that aren't as wide as these two that I just told you about. So there you go. There are the safe toys. You can always depend on Tantus. They rock. Okay, I'm going to do a message now that I actually got on Twitter, which is an unusual place for someone to send me a question. So it was kind of cool to get one there. And Matt, I apologize that it's taken me this long to answer your question. Here was Matt's tweet. My girl used to peg me, but complains there's nothing in it for her. So now we just have vaginal sex. Any tips on how to get it back? Okay, this is a pretty involved question, and this is probably why it's a little more difficult to ask a question on Twitter, because you got those 140 characters, you know. But here's the deal. When there could be a lot of different things going on. One of the most important things is to find out if it's truly that she doesn't feel like there's anything in it for her, or if there's any part of it that actually puts her off. Because there's a whole list of potential things that she could be not thrilled about or actively dislike about it. Anything from the harness is too masculine and it's not feminine enough, and she kind of freaks out about strapping on this big leather, you know, thing with buckles and then putting a cock on, and it sort of freaks her out because of the implied lack of femininity. She could be freaking out about that. Or just that it's difficult because she hasn't established, you know, the strength and the muscles necessary to do it, because perhaps the positions that you tried when you first tried it were a little tough for her, which is not unusual, which is why I recommend in the beginning you want to do cowboy. You want her to lay there and have a good time and be a little pillow princess, and you want to ride her. Or you can do the chairman, and she can sit on a chair and you can ride her that way. A sturdy, armless chair that can hold you, two of you, with a high back, ideally, so you can hold on to that back while you're riding her. So, okay, those are the two positions I recommend for beginners, because it doesn't take any effort on her part, really. It doesn't take any skill. So she could be freaking out about the effort and skill that it takes, because it's a very steep learning curve. Another thing that she could be freaking out about might be the cleanliness or lack thereof of the whole, you know, excrement issue of dealing with that part of the body. If the times that you tried it, maybe there was a little mess, it might have freaked her out, she didn't want to say anything about it, she might have a freak out about that general part of the body, period. So you need to make sure that that is not one of the issues that she's struggling with that maybe just doesn't want to talk about. And then last but not least, there's the whole thinks maybe you're gay thing. See, all of these different things can be possibilities, and so you should make sure that they're not and check in with her on each and every one of them before you know that it truly is what she says it is, which is the she doesn't get anything out of it. If she actually means that she's not getting concurrent pleasure, as in orgasmic, clitoral vaginal type of pleasure, there's a whole host of toys out there that can address that. There are the double-ended dildos. There are clitoral vibes that fit in little pockets on the harnesses. There are clitoral vibes that fit in the base of single flare-based dildos. There are the vibes that fit into the double-ended dildos. So there's a lot of different ways to get pleasure. Sometimes it's a kind of a wild ride with trying to figure out which toys work. But what I'm inferring, even though this is a very short message with not very many words in it, is that she just really isn't into it all that much. So wanting to try and go through this adventure with you and try out different toys that might get her off may not be something she's into. Now, if that's the case, then the only thing I can suggest is to double up on your side of things. And what I mean by that is rock her world sexually. Make sure she's getting enough help around the house, if that's your situation and you live together, if you guys have any kids or anything like that. Make sure that you're doing as much as you can and holding up your end of the deal and making her life as easy as you can, plus rocking her world sexually to the point where you're giving her everything she totally loves the most. And if at that point in time she doesn't feel somewhat compelled to return the favor, then yeah, she might be a selfish lover. She might just want to not put that much effort into it, which is a total bummer for you. But those are my suggestions. And I hope that she decides to go on the adventure with you, because it's really quite something. And the couples who have managed to both find orgasms, him through the pegging and her through the vibe and sometimes the G-spot stimulation of the double-ended dildo. It's a really exciting thing. And there's, you know, men that talk so fondly of how amazing it is to be fucked by a woman who can come from fucking them. And as I've mentioned many times in my own story on this podcast, I am not there yet. And believe me, I will let you guys know when I get there. Because I'm pretty sure it's an eventuality. It's not an if, it's a when, because man, they got some great toys out there, I'm telling you. So, alrighty, that is Matt's question answered. Here's another letter. Actually, it's two letters over a period of time because I didn't get to the first one quick enough, and he wrote back and had a different one, had an additional one. Here we go. Can you provide us some help in regards to the male anatomy? I find that fingers tend to be hard for me to accept, but also that the prostate is just inside the anus. I find that when she has good action going, the pleasure seems to be deeper. Does this make sense? But when we use the 8-inch dildo we bought, the depth is just not felt inside me, but rather it's the stretching of the first few inches that makes me moan. We both enjoy the visual of the larger cock, but we are really trying to find the spot where she can drive me to the point of being incoherent. Any tips? And here is the second part of it. We have gone even bigger in size. I'm really enjoying it more now. It's nice to see her wanting to do it more often, that gleam in her eye, laugh out loud, but still not finding the P-spot as much as we would like to. I do enjoy her deeper these days. Our latest cock is 9 inches by 6 at least, and that is insertable. It's from Basics, I think. Lost the packaging. Okay, very first thing I'm going to tell you is the Basics brand is our rubber, and those are porous, so they can hold bacteria, so that's not good. So you don't want to be using one of those. You might want to look up the couple of examples that I gave the last guy who wrote in, the Tantus examples, the big ones. 6 inches, I'm quite sure you mean that as circumference, but that's still pretty big. That's maybe around 2 inches, 1.75 inches in diameter. So that is a pretty big one. Here's the deal. Everybody likes something a little bit different. Some guys just go through the roof with the width, and they find that when they have a really thick toy inside them, it just takes a little bit of movement to just drive them crazy because it's so thick that every movement presses up against that prostate spot that is, you know, sends them to heaven. Interestingly enough, however, there are men out there where the width doesn't do all that much for them. It's the depth that really gets them going. This would seem a little counterintuitive since the prostate's not that deep in there. The fact remains that some men love the depth. I know when you go as far as 9 inches in there, you are actually carefully going through that second sphincter, which is at the end of the rectal canal, and that's called Hirsch's sphincter. The only explanation I have gotten that explains why that might feel so good is that there, the vagus nerve runs through there, close to there, so the stimulation of something so close to that is amazing. I'm not, you know, I don't speak from a physiological expert place here, so if I misstate things, please forgive me, but I'm just kind of trying to explain it from what I've heard and also from the information I've been given from people who do have that physiological knowledge. So when you're going that long, you are going through that second sphincter, and there's a whole different set of sensations in there that some men just absolutely love. So it takes a little experimentation. One of the things that I would suggest to you is that you might want to try something that is more curved and shorter, because when you think about where the prostate is, if you get something that has a real decent curve to it, and you had mentioned how the prostate is just inside the anus for you, so it sounds like it's not very far from the opening, and that's not uncommon. If she's got a short one with a curve to it, it can target that prostate spot really nicely. The other thing I might recommend is the Pure Wand, the Enjoy Pure Wand, because you said it's hard for you to accept fingers, but the Enjoy Pure Wand has such a smooth surface on it that, and, you know, I have not found one person that doesn't like that toy yet, men or women, but it's a tremendously wonderful toy to target a very specific spot and to stimulate that spot with a minimum of effort. It's just an amazing toy. Can't say enough about it. So you might want to try that as well. And, I'm thrilled that she's wanting to do it more and that there's a gleam in her eye. I love hearing those stories because the more women that are out there with a gleam in their eye, the more pleasure that's being had in this world because of my favorite thing, pegging. So thanks for writing in and let us know how it goes. I'm also going to post a link for the Enjoy Pure Wand. That'll take you to my website, enticeme.com. And remember, if you go there, to use the code RUBY, and you'll get 20% off of anything you buy. Okay, my next letter. Hi, Ruby. Great read. I'm a 33-year-old male, and with my last partner, I've experienced these orgasms wonderfully. I should introduce this by saying this was a comment that was left on an article I wrote about prostate orgasms. So he goes on to say, I can tell you it's the most amazing experience I've experienced sexually in my entire life. She was able to force me to have a prostate orgasm many times, and the last few times was zero stimulation to my penis. It got to the point where she was so good at it, I would last maybe a minute during the massage before having a full-blown prostate orgasm with the intense contractions and spurts of semen. Some things that make it easier to achieve are anticipation, for one, along with verbal communication, which is so sexy, and most importantly, actually making myself contract voluntarily on her finger during the massage. Contracting on her finger, I noticed, allows her to hit the prostate easier. And she can tell when I'm close to having one of these intense orgasms, because right before she feels my prostate swell, causing access to it via massage to become even easier, making it feel much more pleasurable. Many times when this happens, she will watch and be ready to see some cum dribble out. And this will happen for a while sometimes, and the contractions will be close to 10 seconds apart and last for what seems like a lifetime. Meanwhile, I'm moaning and groaning like an animal. Other times it will spurt and contract like a regular orgasm, and rarely I will use my hand on my penis to reach a full orgasm, because I love when she tells me she can feel me coming and how hard I come by the strength of my muscles squeezing and contracting on her finger. She gets better every time. In fact, this reminds me I'm way overdue and I'm going to give her a call. I always go down on her first to get her off, then she rewards me with a prostate orgasm. The reason that I wanted to read this comment to you guys is because it's so specific. This is actually a hint that I have not come across before, is contracting on the finger. And I'm assuming contracting on the dildo would potentially feel the same. So for those of you in search of that elusive prostate orgasm, try contracting on the toy or the fingers if you're getting a prostate massage with fingers or the Enjoy. So that would be one more thing to try to try and reach that hands-free orgasm that so many of you out there would love to experience. Great to hear that it works so well for this guy. It sounds awesome, and it sounds like they've got quite a connection, and she's really paying attention to exactly the signs right before he comes. And this is a lovely part about experimenting in this way, is that you get this connection going and you learn to read those signs. You learn to know exactly what it feels like on your fingers or the groans that he makes right before he comes. And it gets to be pretty damn cool. That's the excitement of running the fuck. It totally is. It rocks. All right, our next letter. Hi, Ruby. First, I'd like to say how much I really appreciate your work. It is fantastic to have a resource such as yourself out there talking about this often shadowy topic. Anyway, my problem is this. I have a really tiny butthole. The most size I can accommodate is about an inch in diameter, and well, that's not the most comfortable thing in the world. We use a lot of lube, but I just tend to squeegee it right off the toy. Is there anything I can do to make things larger, less squeegee-tastic? What about rectal dilators and or plugs? This is just a matter of a little bit more practice and gradual increasing of size. Obviously, if you're having difficulty with a 1-inch, then that's where you want to start, and you want to probably use a butt plug as opposed to going straight to the pegging with the 1-inch. And you want you what I would suggest is to have sessions with your partner where you're just doing butt play with the plug and maybe leaving it in when you have penis and vagina intercourse, or she gives you a blowjob or something like that, and not have that sensation of friction and getting fucked, because you're still kind of getting used to that diameter. If you can, and if it's comfortable, put that butt plug in, walk around with it, leave it in. You can do that. The anal dilator kits, they're helpful, but usually they're helpful for someone who's starting off a lot bigger than where you are and is wanting to go to much, much bigger. Since you experience it as being so tight, probably I would say get up to 1.5 inches and you're good. There's no reason to really go into a larger diameter toy unless it's something that you want to do. The inch diameter that you're able to accept with a little discomfort at this point in time is pretty slender. There's absolutely nothing wrong with, once you get to that comfortability with the inch, to just stay there. That's fine. If that's what your ass wants, then give it to it. There's no reason to do size queen stuff, and there's no point in going bigger if that satisfies you and you've got the right toy. If it's something that you want to work at to take the bigger toys, it's all a matter of just doing it gradually. Slightly larger toys, take your time, and have sessions where literally, when I mean take your time, when I say that, I mean you're going to be spending about 10 minutes, 15 minutes just going back and forth and pushing it in a little bit and pulling it back out and pushing it in a little bit and pulling it back out. And when she is pushing that toy in, what you're going to want to do is push out with your muscles. That is the way to allow the penetration to happen the most comfortably. So you're literally going to be pushing out as if you're having a bowel movement. That's what allows the penetration. So remember those, and just, you know, take a bath before, be relaxed, maybe have a little bit of a drink. If that's something that relaxes you, get high if that's what you do. Do not ever use any kind of numbing cream in order to try and use a bigger toy. I've said that before, and I'll say it lots more on this podcast. That's the worst thing to use, because pain is an indicator. What you're technically doing is causing little teeny, teeny, tiny micro tears in the inner sphincter. So you want to do that so gradually that it's just a matter of feeling like it's discomfort as opposed to pain. Because ideally, you do it slowly enough to where it doesn't feel like pain. It just feels like a little bit of discomfort and stretching. And the slower, the better. And just work up to it. And that would be that. And there's plenty of toys out there, even really long ones now, 7-inch long dildos that are 1 inch in diameter. So once you get up to that inch, if that's comfortable and that does it for you, then just stay there. And by the way, I loved the word squeegee-tastic. Gave me quite a visual there. Thank you for that. Okay, another letter. I hope it's okay to ask you this. I'm a single guy and want to get into butt stuff on my own. I know it needs to be taken seriously and done safely, but I don't exactly have the budget for what I guess would be the proper equipment. I also don't really know much about it. Do you have any tips and resources to share? And sorry for bothering you. Okay, that last line, you are not bothering me. Thank you for writing in. And let me see how best I can answer your question. This is a common dilemma, because basically what you're asking, well, it sounds like what you're asking and what it sounds like in terms of how it's alike to other questions, similar to other questions in this regard, is, are there any household items that I can use to stick up my ass as opposed to buying an expensive toy? And, you know, yeah, there are, but I don't really recommend them. I mean, there's people who use vegetables, there's people who use handles of brushes, there's people who use all kinds of things. You always want to make sure that it's nothing sharp. I don't think I'd feel comfortable using anything organic just because of germs and things, but, you know, people use stuff like that all the time and seem to do okay with it. What I would do is to try and save up for a beginner toy and try and find the least expensive 100% silicone toy that you can, and find something that is about an inch in diameter, inch and a quarter. If you can take two fingers, two of your own fingers in your ass, let me back up just a little bit. The very first thing you need to do is to explore your own body, okay? So if that means putting fingers in your ass, then that's the place you need to start. Sometimes that's an awkward proposition for some guys. It's a hard reach. It's a difficult thing to be able to contort your body a little bit to be able to get your fingers in there, depending on all kinds of things. The length of your torso, the length of your arms, how much weight you carry. So try fingers first, because self-exploration of your own body is going to give you a sense of what feels good, what you like, where that magic spot is, if you can access it. And then from there, if you've managed to get two fingers inside yourself, you can start off with a toy that's like an inch and a quarter in diameter. So as I say, there are other things around that the house that you could probably use. Please don't use anything sharp. Please always, always use something that has some kind of a flared base on it. So, I don't know, I'm thinking back on the handle of the brush. If you use something like that, always put a condom on it, first of all. But you want something that has that flares out at the base because, in the words of my lovely friend Ashley Manta, the vagina is a cul-de-sac. You go in there and it only goes so far. The ass is a highway, okay? So do not put anything in your ass that doesn't have a flared base on it that might get lost in there. And I guess that includes carrots, you know? Please be careful with this. And this is why it's such a hard question to answer of, are there any household items I can use? Yeah, I get that that's where you're going with it, but I don't have any really good suggestions for that. My only suggestion is to please be careful with whatever you find. Make sure it has smooth edges. Put a condom over it. Make sure it has a flared base. Use plenty of lube. And start saving up for a good toy, because there are some dildos out there and some different toys that you can get that are not that expensive, like maybe $30. And that may sound like a lot, but, you know, save up for a couple of months if you can. Have a few less whatever it is that you usually spend money on, beer, coffee, going out to eat, and buy something that will last and last. Because if you get that 100% silicone toy, you're going to have that baby forever. It's like indestructible. So just make sure it is 100% silicone and you buy it from a good company. It should be platinum cured and all that kind of stuff. Okay, and if you find something around the house that is just like total premium, feel free to write back and say, hey, you know what, for all you people out there that have no money, this actually works pretty well. Because unfortunately, I don't have a list of stuff. The only thing I could come up with was the brush handle. All right, good luck to you, and tell us how it goes. Okay, another letter. My boyfriend and I have started playing around with pegging. The problem is, I'm a fairly petite woman, and we're having a hard time finding a good position for me to peg him in. Are there any positions that might help this? Thank you so much for this site, by the way. It's been extremely helpful, and I love how you write about it. Well, first of all, thanks for writing in and asking this question. This is one of those body matchup kind of questions, because all bodies are different sizes, and I do get the question a lot that the guy's taller and bigger and the woman is petite and smaller, so that pretty much lets doggy style, that's out of the picture right off the bat, which is the one position that most people tend to picture being pegged in. Let's see, there's always cowboy, so if you lay on your back, he can ride you. And that's actually a really sweet position for intimacy, because you've got eye contact, depending on the length of torsos and how those match up. Sometimes kissing is very possible. And also, his cock is very accessible for either him or you to play with. And let's see, another position that I like is the man laying down flat on the bed. The disadvantage to this is that his cock isn't accessible, but you can either put a couple of pillows under his hips or not, but the woman lying on top, just laying full length on top of him, is lovely. A lot of men talk about how it feels really sweet to have all of that skin contact and the breasts against the back and all that, and it's much easier position because it doesn't depend on you balancing and being at the right height to access where his ass is, basically. And other things are just to try and play with height things. Sometimes you'll find things around the house like an ottoman or a chair. And if you try those out and have him get on it doggy style, you can find something eventually that sometimes is just the right height for you to do a position that you couldn't have done before just because you both on the same surface, like doggy style on the bed, is just not happening. One more is spooning. Spooning is a sweet position just in terms of the touching, but it is a little advanced in terms of it takes a fair amount of core strength. It's not the easiest position to do because it does take a lot of stomach muscle, but that's another one that is not dependent on height. And there's also the chairman where you're sitting on the chair and he's riding you. So that's all those are possibilities. And those are the ones that come up right off the bat. I just say keep experimenting and trying different things. Hey, there's one. I don't know the name of this. I saw it on a video. And I do demonstrate it in my class, but I don't have a name for it. So I'm going to try and describe it as best as possible. And I will put a link in my Linkorama area for the video. Actually, that little video clip gets a lot of hits on my website because it's pretty hot. But the man is laying kind of face down, but it's as if, you know, when you sleep and you draw one leg up, like you draw your top leg up a little bit so your knee's bent. So one of her knees is in between his legs, okay, and the other is on the outside of the straight leg. And especially if you're petite, that would mean the bones of those, your thighs are going to be shorter, and you will have pretty good access to his ass in that. And he's sort of laying on his side a little bit. And I think that is one of the ones that you guys should try, and let me know how it goes. And, you know, hey, send pictures if you want. I'd love to see it. Thanks for writing in.
Hey, Ruby, this is JB. Hey, I had a question about getting started in the whole pegging thing. And like to work, you know, start getting ready before I broach it to my partner. So I was wondering for some recommendations on how best to get started.
JB, hey, thanks for calling in. And a lot of the information that I just gave the guy who called in with the difficulty in taking larger diameter toys definitely applies to you. The very first place to start is to explore your own body and get to know it. So you can either do that with your own fingers, you can do it with toys, but that's the place to start. One of the toys that I recommend very much for beginning anal exploration for guys is the Aneros toy. And there's a number of different models. My favorite is the Helix because it's small enough to where it's not a really daunting task for anal beginners, but it does have more flexibility. The initial classic model is a little bit rigid, in my opinion. So the Helix Syn, I think is what it's called, S-Y-N, is a great model. And that toy is designed for prostate stimulation by contracting your anal sphincter. So you could have it in and you contract your own anal sphincter and that should massage your prostate. What it does is it really tunes you into that part of your body and lets you start feeling what that's like to have the prostate stimulated, because in the very beginning, it's kind of an interesting thing. It's sort of, some men are like, whoa, that's it right there. That's incredible. And other guys are like, you know, I'm not feeling a whole lot. So it's a good toy to get that part of your body sensitized, so to speak. So those are the things that I would recommend, because once you approach your girlfriend with this, you will be able to show her, you will be able to tell her what this feels like and where to look for the magic spot, so to speak. It's just like being with a woman who has not explored her own body very much or who has never masturbated. You know, how do we know how to please another person's body if they don't even know how to please themselves? So I really encourage guys to do self-exploration in their journey to do this. And I think you're smart to do that yourself. And of course, the Enjoy Pure Wand, I keep talking about it, but that's an awesome toy once you get to that point. Initially, though, the Aneros, which I'll leave a link for, and the and your fingers are awesome. So start there. obviously do this when you've got privacy, since it sounds like you're wanting to do this and not introduce it to her right off the bat, so where you're not going to be walked in on. You're relaxed. You got a lot of lube. You got a towel underneath you. You know, don't forget all these things. And have a great time.
Hey, Ruby. This is John. We spoke before. Couple things. I truly enjoyed your show about personal questions. I was fascinated to understand your first experience. You're very fortunate that didn't turn you off from suing your pegging from there. I know a lot of people have one bad experience like that, and it's the last one. Also, I was very interested to know where you were on the BDSM scene, being sadistic and probably a top or dom. I'm pretty much a submissive male, which is, I guess, one of the reasons I like pegging, because it's the ultimate submission. And you mentioned you like floaters, and crops. Crops are my favorite toy, especially when I'm extremely turned on. My girl does a play with a flogger and a fur glove that you just wouldn't believe. Anyway, keep up the great work. Looking forward to the next podcast. Go ahead and use this on here. Bye. Ruby, this is John. I called a little while ago, and I just had a senior moment. I forgot the main thing I called about. One of the things you mentioned in your last podcast was the fact that there are those that find beauty in all people. And I am one of those people. When we do BDSM parties, I'm a big fire player. I love to fire cup and play with fire. I have a following of friends that like to be cupped. And some of them are rather large women. And, you know, I admire their bodies. I admire touching them, feeling them, being with them, as much as the little skinny hard bodies. In fact, in many cases, more so. It's just that if you take a moment to really admire the person you're with, you're going to find beauty in every body you see. Just my thoughts. Bye.
Okay, that's going to wrap it up for this time. So all of the products that I talked about, the toys, a lot of those you can find on enticeme.com. Enticeme.com is your source for the highest quality, non-toxic, body-safe toys. You can trust Enticeme to offer you only the best sex toys available on the market today. You'll find pegging equipment as well as a wide variety of excellent toys, condoms, and lubes. What you won't find are the toxic toys offered by other retailers, because we care about our customers and we'll never sell you anything but the best. Plus, when you shop at enticeme.com, you support my work in bringing the word about pegging to the world. Use the coupon code Ruby and get 20% off your order, and any order over $100 ships for free. So you can leave your questions at 805-500-6544, 805-500-6544, and not just questions, stories, or requests for consultations as well. You can follow me on Twitter at Ruby_Ryder, and I have a Facebook page that I get a total thrill every time you give me a thumbs up on. You can subscribe to my blog, which has sexy pictures and all kinds of things that never show up on my podcast that are visual and other things too. My podcast can be listened to on iTunes, and then previously there was a podcast where I detailed the ways to get to my podcast most easily. There is a whole assortment of podcast engines, so to speak, podcast software type of downloads, apps, that will enable you to circumvent iTunes if you believe that iTunes is the devil, which some of us do. Believe me, I only use it because it's the biggest thing out there. Otherwise, having iTunes on my computer is something that is a bit of an anathema to me, honestly. But having said that, now let's go do a deal with the devil. Go to iTunes and rate my podcast and write me a cool review, and I'll be most appreciative. If you'd rather write me, please send your questions and stories to ruby@peggingparadise.com, or you can click the Write Ruby links at the upper right of every page on my blog. As always, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading, and happy pegging, everybody.